Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen.
We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the gladness all around. Jesus save, Jesus save. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steep and cross the wave. Onward to our Lord's command. Jesus save, Jesus save. Walking on the rolling tide. Jesus save, Jesus saves, down to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean cave. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus save, Jesus save. By his death an endless life. Jesus save, Jesus save. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing and triumph for the tomb. Jesus save, Jesus save. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus save, Jesus save. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus save, Jesus save. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hill and deepest cave. This our song of victory. Jesus save, Jesus save. Foster.
Hallelujah. Jesus saves. Oh, wonderful. Praise God. Jesus does definitely save. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. And I give everyone a warm welcome in their service tonight. If you can turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And I've mentioned some of these things before, but I thought I would take a bit more time with it and just mention some more things again from Daniel and the three Hebrew children. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless. I know there's a few people on holiday, and it's good to get a holiday, isn't it? Praise God. Let's read from verse 8, just for the way of time, of Daniel chapter 3. And this is Daniel's friends refusing to worship, and I have wrote down for a title tonight, Refusing to Bow. Refusing to Bow. Verse 8 of chapter 3. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, solitary, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's just bow our heads again tonight. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord. Praise God. God bless each one. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward us. And Lord, we Enter in by the new and living way tonight through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. We pray that you'll wash us, cleanse us, sanctify us. We cast down all reason and all vain imagination, and we pray that your thoughts and your word will come out tonight and bless and strengthen your people. For the hands raised, that you'll meet every single need, that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit, and Lord, that you'll touch people tonight. We ask again for Eiling and Andre and Samuel, and if there's any others that's sick and laid aside, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for full recovery for them all, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now, and I thank you that you will. Bless your word and bless your people and meet every single need, in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, if you were to go back a little bit in the story, and you would know that when you read through chapter 2, that nobody got the king in a dream, and the dream was of the big statue, the gold and the brass, and right down to the feet, and they preached on it one time in Scarborough. But nobody could tell him about the dream, the interpretation of the dream, and the soothsayers, the sorcerers, nobody could do it. And Daniel was the man that could do it. But before you get to that part in chapter 2, before that, when you start off in the book of Daniel and you read through the book of Daniel, there's something very striking you read in it. It says that God had chosen these men specially. That's Daniel and his friends. And he placed upon them wisdom and knowledge above their fellows. Now, not just Daniel, but also on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that wasn't original names. I haven't time to go back and remember the original names tonight, but they were given them names. That wasn't original names. And you know, Daniel was given the name Belteshazzar, which was after a god, because the king thought he was a god, but his name was Daniel. But God placed within them wisdom and knowledge above their fellows. And Daniel was able to tell the king what he dreamed. Now you remember, everybody was getting put to death. All the soothsayers, all the astrologers, everything. None of them could tell the king their dream. And the king was going to do away with all of them. And Daniel was rushed in to tell the king his dream. And you know, he was meeting with his three friends. I mentioned it the other week. Daniel was already having a meeting with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I want you to know tonight that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were closer to Daniel than anybody else. Now, I felt the Holy Spirit wants me to emphasize that in this meeting and in this recording. I want to make a point tonight. Them three men was closer to Daniel than any other person living. They knew him. They knew how God used them. They prayed with them. They read with them. I showed you how he had been reading the book of Jeremiah. They were reading the same book of Jeremiah. And they knew what it said. If my people that are called by my name, they get in trouble, they're called away captive. We know that. If they will turn again to this place, and a certain way they had to turn and call on the Lord, then they'll hear from heaven. But yet with all, even though they're the closest people to Daniel, and they know Daniel's a prophet sent from God, and they know all these things about Daniel, but yet with all, when we come to chapter 3, and the king loves Daniel so much, and these men are set over the affairs, and Daniel's in the gate, as it were. Daniel's the head man of the kingdom. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are set over the affairs of the kingdom. So it's strange that Daniel didn't know what's happening to these three men. You don't read him anything but said. But I believe they were secretly maybe doing it behind his back. But he's not mentioned at this point for these three men mentioned. But the kings made the image on the images of Daniel. And it's 90 feet high and 6 feet wide, this image. And it's the image of Belteshazzar, that's his God. Daniel knows God. He thinks that. And he builds image to Daniel. And then all his cohorts are now jumped on the bandwagon. And they're telling them that everybody must worship this image and the sound of the harp, the dulcimer, of the sackbut, all these different instruments. When they play, you must fall down and worship the image. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, though they were closest to Daniel, refused to bow. And I thought about the day, the movement in this last 20th century that came about. How that when you don't go with certain beliefs and certain things, you're out. And then they automatically say, you do not believe the message God sent because you don't believe them or agree with them. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were closer to Daniel than anybody. But they wouldn't bow to Daniel. And the fact that we won't bow to a false belief doesn't mean that we don't still believe the truth. We certainly still believe the truth. And we certainly know where the scriptures are fulfilled for our day. But that doesn't change the fact that we won't bow to false doctrines. That if you don't see it our way, you'll not be in the rapture. And this and that and all these different things, which is not in the Bible. And these men here knew they weren't bound and they couldn't bow. Because with them reading Jeremiah and them knowing Daniel as well as they knew him, he wouldn't have bowed. So they can't bow. And they're not led by Daniel per se. They are led by the God of Daniel. Are you hearing me tonight? And even though we know that God has sent great men, we're not worshiping them men, but we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The same God, the one true God. And the Bible forbids us to have any other gods before him. And isn't it really amazing? Not only, now think of this, not only when these men refused to bow, they were going to kill them. And I tell you, people that claim to have revelation and people that claim to have great knowledge and wisdom can't even shake hands with other Christians because they don't see it the way they do. I tell you, brothers and sisters, something's wrong. And it's not in the Bible and it's not in the Holy Spirit. It's somewhere else. It's another spirit. And I tell you, these men weren't going to pay any homage even to Daniel. Even though they knew all they knew about Daniel, and they knew more than anybody else would have knew, they were best friends. And that never changed. Let me tell you that. And because somebody puts a label on you, it doesn't change what you really believe. You hold on, brother, sister, to what you really believe, what you know to be the truth. Never let it go. Never compromise it and refuse to bow. And I tell you, these men refused. Only three people in this great multitude that day stood upright while everyone else was prostrate. And they were Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I tell you, there's coming a mark on the number, and it's already happening. And there's people that will bow down to it, and it will surprise you. It will surprise you. But don't you bow down. Now, I want briefly for a moment to look at why they couldn't bow. And I told you they'd read Jeremiah, and we'll get that in a moment. But I want you to see why they can't bow, and I want you to know we can't either. So when someone comes up with a revelation in our time that makes Jesus just a good prophet or a good man, we can't bow to it. Now it is partly true, but we're not looking partly true. We're looking the truth, not the partly. The devil partly in Eden, and he partly brought him, and he partly grieved, and he brought death. Hath God said? We want the full truth. And we know that Jesus Christ was more than a man. He was God in flesh. And we cannot buy, and we do not need to compromise the things we know. For no organization or anything, we must hold on to the truth. These men wouldn't bow down. Exodus, now follow with me. It's up on the board. Keep your finger if you want. And Daniel, I won't keep you longer than that. I don't want to give time to pray. And if there's so much, but we'll just bring what the Lord wants, what I feel, and give time for praying. And I hope that doesn't sound bad, what I feel. It's not me. Hopefully it's the Lord. Verse 3 of Exodus 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now we know Daniel wasn't a god, but that king made him one. He made an image of Daniel. It wasn't Daniel's doing. It was out of Daniel's hands. You understand me? And the things happening today around movements and the men that originally were used of God, it's out of their hands. If they were to come back, they wouldn't have it, but they're not here to do anything about it. It has happened. And this was out of Daniel's hands. The king done it. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So there's no images we're to bow to. And I tell you, people have little figures of, the little figures of Padre Pio. A woman gave me one time. She says, I hope you're not offended. I know you're going to Africa. She gave me Padre Pio's wee prayer and a wee badge and all the rest of it. What's the difference in a figure of Padre Pio than some of the photos people have today? What's the difference? There's no difference. They're both men. There's not one of them died on the cross to save you. Only the Lord Jesus did. And somebody could draw a painting and say, well, I think that's like the Lord. How do they know? I tell you, there's some things that's worship that should not be worshipped. That's why we must only worship the Lord. No other images. And relics, we talk about relics of Rome, but there's a lot of relics closer than Rome, isn't there? Amen. There's people that's relics and they're closer than Rome, Romish relics, but the Romish ones are still wrong. And the other ones are wrong as well. We're not to have any of them. We've got the Lord. You know what Jesus said? I'm going, but I'm sending you the thing you need, the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit. Now look, there's nothing wrong with having a photograph of a man of God or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. That's just a picture of great men God used. I don't believe there's anything wrong with it. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about things that people bow down to and pray to them. That's wrong. And you would be surprised at the things some people kneel in front of and pray to. May the Lord help us. Amen. Also, not in heaven or on earth or under the water. Deuteronomy 6, verse 14, 15. Ye shall not go after other gods. How could Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bow to this image or this other god that this king was calling a god when they knew there's one God they're serving? One God. And they knew, Daniel knew that as well. And they knew this wasn't Daniel's doing, somebody else's doing. And how could they do it when they knew the truth? Of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Now let me tell you this. No, some people won't know this, but I'm going to tell you it anyhow. I'm still recording, and I'm not worried about that either because it's the truth anyhow. Harry Green. You know the Hoffman's Head of Christ, the picture. And nobody knew what it was. And William Branham said, turn it sideways. And then it was like the Hoffman Head of Christ. They called it. Then somebody else colored it in. It wasn't originally colored or anything. That was a man somewhere, colored it in and all the rest of it. But they kept going further with it. And then they added different stuff to it. And then they put different things around it. And then it reached Congo. And when it got to Congo in Africa, There was different stuff drew around it and different stuff painted in it that was never in the original picture that was taken. And the people thought that's it. The Lord came in 1963. And Perry Green says the angel of the Lord came to him. Perry Green says that I have it on a tape somewhere. And I'd hardly ever heard Perry Green, but one of the times we went to America, the brother Arnold gave me some DVDs of Perry Green trying to sort out the mess around the message mess. And all that, he says, the angel Lord came to him and said, you see what you have started with this cloud business. So Perry Green went to Congo to sort the thing out and stood before them. And you remember, Dioka in Congo had a church with 10,000 people. Now, if you want to prove the revival's a move of God, and people talk about the big crowds and all, there's multitudes in Congo. They can't even fit in a building or anything. Thousands of two meetings a day. There's 30 or 40,000 people gathered just for one service. It's the fastest growing religion there is, the message movement in Congo. Now, you can call revival if you want, but I have other names for it. It's not revival. I've just been honest. And Perry Green stood up, but he tried to tell them that's not the picture originally. That's been altered and changed. And that is not the coming of the Lord in 63. And they booed him off the stage. They never received it. And they keep on preaching. 1963 was the coming of the Lord. Now, if 1963 was the coming of the Lord, what are we doing here? And where's the millennium? And if you're with one group that believes 7 years or 3 years, whichever group you want to pick, we believe it's 3.5, but let's say it's 7, we'll not fall out. 7 years is long past that, but 1970, where's the millennium reign? It's false teaching, but it has spread throughout the world, and there's people behind it. And even though the man originally behind it and with it and knew about it, and the angel tells him, look at this, and he goes to try and fix it, they don't want to know nothing about it. And I tell you, there's a lot of things today, and they claim to the truth, but when the truth's given them, they'll not change. We know the Bible says this, but we believe this. We have to remember what God sent was to bring us back to Scripture. And if it doesn't bring us back to Scripture, God never sent it. But I believe what God did send brings us back to Scripture, so restoration back to Scripture. 2 Kings 17:35, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. Only the one God. Jeremiah, and I told you they were reading Jeremiah. Jeremiah 25, verse 6. And go not after other gods to serve them and worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. And also chapter 35 of Jeremiah, verse 15. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear and not hearkened unto me. God sent the prophets to bring them back to the truth. God never sent the prophets to get them to worship something false or to take them away. It was to bring them back to God. And every true message is to bring us back to God, not away from God. But there's a lot of things today, and they're not really bringing us to God. They're taking us away from God, from the presence of God. But we want the presence of the Lord, don't we? We need his presence. Amen? I was saying to the brothers tonight, I just happened to see someone the other day. I was reading, there used to be a wee hall right in the corner if you're going into Lurgan, above Hayes's Pipes, Four Square Gospel, a wee, basically a tin hut. There's still a wee plaque, still up. And that plaque's up into the wee bit of a field there. I know the man that owns the ground. And that wee hall, nobody's, it's been knocked down. There's been no meeting there for years. But there's a fella telling there on his reading he got saved at that meeting. And he was able to tell other people that could save. And not only was he telling other people that could save, the people that done the meeting didn't even know themselves what was happening. Because there was just a few of them that thought nothing was taking place. But this one fellow was saying how his mother once got passed on a pushbank. And the Spirit of God moved on her. And she knelt at the door of that wee hall. And read the scriptures in the building. And asked the Lord into her heart and got saved and served the Lord. And several people got saved, but passed it, that weren't even in it. God's word's powerful. That's what I'm telling you. You can put a scripture up and it'll do something, because there's not one word of God void of power. But my words would fail. And William Branham said, my words would fail, his won't. That's what he said. And the word of God can never fail. And that's why we only want the word of God, isn't it? Amen. God's word's powerful, isn't it? Praise God. Just a couple more minutes and we're going to come and pray. You see, they could keep, these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had no problem keeping most of the things of the king of Babylon, but they could in no means keep any command which was against the laws of God. Now, I'll tell you another thing when you're reading through the book of Daniel. They refused the king's portion. Daniel and his three friends did. There was wine and everything in it. They didn't want to touch it. They refused it. And the boy over them, he was panicking. You know, they weren't eating it. He's panicking a bit. And they put them on this other stuff, which they shouldn't have did too well on. And they were fed in it. And then after so many days, they brought them back. And they laid aside the king's portion that was gone. And they fed them on. You can read through this. I'm just telling you briefly. Well, when they brought them back, their flesh was fatter than the ones on the king's portion. You see, when God's with you, even a slice of bread is better than steak and wine in some big house. Slice of bread will be it, if the Lord's blessings on it. That's the truth. And I tell you, it's not what we have, but it's what we're believing is the thing. Amen. But they refused it. You see, their faith also becomes a great model for all Christians today, doesn't it? The faith of these three men. When the government issues a command, we must obey that command to say, but if that commandment that the government issues is against the word of God, we can't obey it. We can't obey it. Brothers and sisters, I want you for a moment, and I'm going to come to close. I want you for a moment to think of the condition today. Think of the condition. You can float into England on a lifeboat and be put up in a top hotel. But our government doesn't want to give you the pension till you're an old man or an old woman. They don't want to give you it. So if you haven't too long to get too much of it. But you're paying into it all your life. That's the government we have. They don't want to give the pensioners any money in the winter to keep them warm either. That's the government we have. But they're putting boys up in hotels in England. Top hotels that me and you couldn't even book for a night, but not expensive. That's the government that's running the country. That's the way things are. And thank God for the schools here that still have the Bible, but a lot of schools no longer have the Bible. I have a friend in England that preaches on the streets, John McGogama, Sister Karen knows. Brother John, I preached for many times over in England. He's an African brother, but he's a good one. And they forbid them, I can't remember what the town it was, they forbid them, and they couldn't do their outreaches and all. He would write down into the top place down in there and he'd tell them he'd be doing it. And they said, what do you mean? He said, but sure, the Muslims can go on the streets. And the plaques up and all sorts of stuff up. And he says, I'm a Christian, I'm going on the street. And they had to let him go. And they ruled that he could do it. But you know, Samuel Fields was in Southampton. And everybody used to talk about Samuel Fields' meetings. And Samuel had Parkinson. They kept the meetings going, kept the meetings going. And people used to say, oh, Samuel, you should close your meetings. You're not fit to do it. You see, they were blind. When I look back now, I can see that. Even though Samuel might have had Parkinson's and never was healed from it, but it was still somewhere open to preach the word of God. And now that place is swamped with false religions. swamped with it. And there's no lake in the area, but that wee lake was gone there. And I tell you that the devil had his way, he'd put out every lake. He closed this service down if he could do it. He'd be happy you're sitting at home and weren't coming out to any meetings, he'd be happy. You see, because you hear the night, there might not be any of us, but when two or three get together and pray, God changes things. I want you to know that. One of them with the Lord's a majority, I'll tell you that right now. Give the devil a black eye tonight, I'm telling you. Don't hold back on him. We need to seek the Lord. We need to not hold back, I'm telling you now. We can be complaining what we don't have, but we want to thank the Lord for what we do have. We've light tonight. Hallelujah. Light in the vessel, light in the lamp. May the Lord help us. We know the truth. Amen. And we need to let our light shine in this dark age. Praise God. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight, and the Lord bless each one of you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for your word, for your truth. Lord, we know that you said, I am the way, truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord Jesus, we'll love you tonight with all of our hearts because you first loved us. You have ransomed us. Hallelujah. Ransomed. What a Savior you are this evening. What a stoop you took when you stepped down and you lowered yourself a little lower than the angels and you took upon you the form of a man and you became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Lord, you went the whole way to Calvary and you suffered and died alone. And you gave up the ghost. And on the third day, God raised you from the dead. Lord, you've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave tonight. You ever live it tonight to make intercession for the saints? Father, I come against the spirit of fear and anxiety. I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll give your people strength and courage. And oh God, help our faith, I pray, in the thanksgivings of faith increase. Lord, bless and touch your people tonight. Lord, we're asking you again for every son, for every daughter, for every husband, for every wife, for every aunt and every uncle, every nephew, every niece, all that's near and dear to everyone in this room. We bring them up before your throne tonight, for we may find help in the time of trouble. And we're asking that the Holy Ghost will work on every one of them. Move on them, we pray. Convict them of their sin and unrighteousness and draw them unto thyself. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Father, save, we pray. Add to the work. Ships that should be saved. Help us to be the men and women of God that you want us to be. Lord, help us never to bow, but to serve you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we thank you for the real message you have sent. And the real voice you did send. We believe it, Lord, with all of our hearts. But guard us from the scarecrows. And keep us in the middle of the road, I pray. And help us to preach the original gospel. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Bless your people tonight and touch those that need your touch. And speak and move on the backslider of praying. Bring them back to yourself. Give us your health and your strength to pray. For we commit it all to you tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight.